None of it's dead like Gary's beef.
Been in the basement, been in our basement, back. Still hit chicks when I'm down one leg.
Alright, people. Episode 2.5.
Nah, it'd be 1.5.
Bumble. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm back from St. Lucia, people. Yes. We did a little episode just before this one, and it didn't work out. So this is like 2.5, no, 1.5, isn't it? Meant to be episode 2, but it's 1.5.
Yeah, man.
It's going to do a quick, hopefully I can patch stuff together. You never know, it might work out. But what we basically wanted to talk about today, because I was in St. Lucia and I've done a lot of research now of how citizenships work. I've been over there and I'm trying to get my dual citizenship, and I wanted to bring these two people in. This is my girl, Elle, and this is my brethren, Jamal, from last time. We're both Lucian, and I've been trying to, I can't stress enough for people to get their dual citizenship if they're Caribbean, African, and English. It's very important. Ella has hers already, and it was quite easy for her to get hers in the first place because her parents, your mum's born back home.
My mum is born back home, birth certificate, everything. Sort of back home, yeah.
So if you've got that, it's a lot easier to get your citizenship. But for the likes of me and Jamal and a lot of other people, it's our grandparents that are born back home, and the paper trail is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the original, I thought it was, is I might just need my nan's birth certificate and two references, and that would be enough to get me to get citizenship in St. Lucia. However, I need a paper trail. I need a paper trail of the names of marriage. I need the names that were originally in St. Lucia. So say like mine is Prosper and Jabatiste. And I also need any kind of marriages that may have changed that name as well. So it costs $550 as well to do the citizenship.
$550 what?
$550 ECD, which is East Caribbean dollars, which is what the currency we deal with in St. Lucia. It's a good conversion rate, so it's roughly about £230, really.
Yeah, it's cheap.
And then it's quite cheap, for considering that it's what it gives you.
Mm-hmm.
From being in St. Lucia, it gives you a lot of benefits from going like all these touristy places. They don't treat you like a tourist out there when you're
a citizen.
Mm. You don't have to pay the tourist prices. Everything, instead of being like 25, 30 ECD or even US dollars, they'll just be like, nice, 10 ECD, which is the currency of St. Lucia. And it's so much cheaper. Let me put it into comparison, 10 is roughly about £2 or £3. So I'm paying to go to Mineral Bath, Sulphur Springs, Waterfall Jumps, all for £3.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
it's actually kind of crazy for the prices out there. But if not, they treat me like a tourist, and it's kind of mad. But it was me, my cousin Sherelle, and another cousin of mine. We were in Castries, the capital, trying to sort everything out. And they send you everywhere. They want to send you to Home Affairs to go and get all the names and the birth certificates. Then they want to send you to the passport office, and you got to have a specific passport picture that's their size in St. Lucia that they want, different to your passport photo. And then after that, if you don't have that kind of stuff, you would have to go and source your birth certificate, because a lot of people in St. Lucia don't necessarily have birth certificates because they weren't born. They weren't registered when they were born. So it's a lot of madness.
Yeah, a lot of them don't have their birth certificates.
So a lot of people don't have their birth certificates, so it's a lot of headache. And I'm just wanted to bring Jamal onto the episode because I also, Ella obviously has her, so she can give her point of view from having it. And I wanted to explain to Jay and others out there how important it is and how hard it is to get it done, so it's not as straightforward as it'd be made.
And what's the process, really? That's the main thing, like what the process is as well. Because like most people don't do it because they don't know the process. That's where it really comes down to. Most
it comes down to it, and they don't make the process easy.
Nah, that's the problem.
We try to do a lot of things from England, but you can't do it. You have to be in the country of origin, but that's not the case for Jamaicans, is it?
Not necessarily. Sometimes you can do it from here, but you have to have somebody in your family who has Jamaican papers at least for it to work. So that I have to admit. My mum did most of the work, but she did talk me through the process. So, you know, again, it's already done. It was done from a year ago.
Nice.
And what it will allow me to do is to allow me to have more things to do on the island. So when I come back, my next thing to do would be to apply for having a card ID electoral ID is what they call it, and to have a tax code. So in the case that I want to run a business or have a job out there for such a short time, if I felt like I wanted to make some money when I'm going to see them out there, you know, I can look for a job just as long as I have that. But that's another long list in itself. Now I'm still doing the research towards that, so I can't remember from the top of my head exactly what, but I will need a long list of documents, including my British documents. Don't know if I'll need anything. I most likely will need something of my own family to say, okay, this is who I'm related to and things like that. The good thing is though, on a British passport, if I'm staying for less than 90 days, I don't need a visa.
That's cool.
So that's true for anybody. Is that the same for St. Lucia though?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
You might have to look that up, but I know that's a fact. I know that if you're staying for less than 90 days in Jamaica on a British passport, you don't need a visa. I haven't travelled to Jamaica on my Jamaican passport yet.
I know there's plenty of people in St. Lucia that have been there for longer than 90 days that don't have citizenship though. So I don't know.
Again, it's different per country. I can't really speak for St. Lucia.
Yeah.
But all in all is, you know, now that you have yours, or you've started the process for it anyways, it should be a lot easier for you to obtain a few more things in the island. So I'm yet to discuss housing, hopefully before the end of the year. So there is that. I couldn't tell you just how easy it would be for me, but hopefully the fact that I'm a dual citizen can make the process a lot more straightforward. But that's in due time.
Yeah.
Right now, like, it's been like 2 weeks since I've been back home. Give me a break.
I think also one of the benefits you get when having a dual citizenship is the freedom. Like, you get there's a level of freedom you have because you're not held down to just one country and one passport. So like, if anything, you know, anything does go wrong inside the UK, and the UK decides, you know what, flip it. All you Caribbean people that built up the country, that helped, you know, sort this country out and have us experience in this modern world that we live right now over here in the UK. And like, yeah, you guys have to go. You have options, you have the ability and autonomy over yourself and where you stay and all the rest of it. Like over in Africa and certain countries in Africa, like you don't need visas. Having certain, if you have certain passports over from a Caribbean island, you don't need visas. And then that's true for Jamaica, isn't it?
Yep.
Certain countries and all the rest of it. And
you can just go to Africa.
You can just, yeah. So like there's just loads of benefits that come with it that enable you, that we don't have if you don't actually allow yourself, go get yourself a dual citizenship. And it's super important with today's economy, the way the life world is going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just don't know what twists and turns you're going to have. And
just from voting Brexit, they took the opportunity away from us of going and living where you wanted to in Europe. And people didn't realize that like that.
It's crazy, isn't it?
They didn't even realize it. The main thing that I was always stressed about when people were saying, oh, Brexit, this, that, the other, I'm like, you know, everything's going to be so much more expensive just to go and travel to Europe.
Yeah.
You won't be able to go and study in Europe the same way you went. They ain't going to let you in anymore. You're not European.
Yeah.
And this is why I can't stress enough people to get dual citizenship if they can get it. Because you don't know what they will do in the next 10 years. They might say, we're fed up with you. As I said, look in America, Trump's coming to power. Don't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, but a lot of the immigrants and people that are over there are afraid because they feel like they're just going to up and kick them out.
Yeah, that side of things kind of peaking. No, they literally have crazy. No security. They have no security in their life or what's going on or the rest of it. They're kind of stuck in a place of uncertainty constantly with Trump in power, which is obviously not a good thing for them. Overall, I can't lie. Me personally, I think Trump going into power is actually a good thing for the American people and for myself personally.
Elaborate.
Crypto. Crypto.
I ain't involved with it. It's a bit confusing for me, but go on.
Yeah, crypto, the markets, obviously Bitcoin specifically is doing very, very good now. It was kind of due anyway, because this year it was the 4 year coming anyway. So like every 4 years, Bitcoin has the Bitcoin halving.
Mm-hmm.
So every 4 years, Bitcoin, like the amount that you can mine halves. So the amount, the value of it obviously increases because it's not less off of it. It's like there's less that you can mine. So there's less that you can get from it. So it kind of makes sense. It's kind of hard. It's a long thing to explain.
Oh, I know kind of it because I've been explained to it in the past, but because I couldn't keep an eye on it and watch it so often, I was just like, there's not really much point of me trying to get involved with it.
Yeah. So it was guaranteed there was going to be a level of a pump or a bull run per se this year anyway, or coming into 2025 due to the Bitcoin halving, because that typically is what happens. Bitcoin halving thing happens, a pump happens, but with Donald Trump going into power, he's obviously massively crypto positive or pro crypto,
It's because he's massively pro-crypto. The market is obviously jumped hugely. Kamala Harris was massively negative crypto. So if she went into power, the market would have went down. That would have been bad for me. So for me, this is just a good look in it. It just means I mean, more profits, making more money. It's a beneficial thing.
You're recording right now, mate. Oh, you want to be involved? You coming? Oh, don't worry, man. If you want
to be on the video. Podcast and everything. Watch when the video releases.
2 seconds, mate. If you wanted to be on the pod, you're live now. It's on voice. It's on loudspeaker. So, what?
well, shout out, Bill Ups every time you're in. No, Bill Ups to the world and back. 2024, bang, going into 2025. Got to say it. Come on, now. Shout out all the men, them. Shout out, baby, with the pod. You already know. On common sense, because the common kind ain't working.
Yeah, this is Posso, by the way. It'll be on the podcast, hopefully, in the near future.
Of course. But next week, obviously, I'm a bit ill at the minute. Just on my way back from the shots. But next week, I'll be there. I'll be in the flesh. I'll be recuperated. And then we'll get something done.
All right.
You said it now.
All right, in a bit.
But yeah, even outside of the crypto side of things, like, just Donald Trump in power, he's a great businessman, isn't it? And whenever he goes into power, good things happen for the American people, whether they see it or not, whether they like to give him praise for it or not, it does happen. Wars stop. Like, the economy goes up because he cares about money and money being people having access to making more money and so forth. Like, he's just, in my personal opinion, I think he is a good thing, although he is obviously
a misogynist, technically a racist. Yeah. What's the other stuff they said about him? They said Nazi, wasn't it? That was the latest one they tried to run up it. That's because of the words and the certain slogans that he was using in his rallies that it was easy to kind of throw that neo-Nazi crap at him. Yeah. But it's not really going to stick because he's actually not trying to put people into a holocaust.
You know yeah. Plus, also, like, I get why he does that, though. It's good marketing because now it gets white America on his side, and white America is most of the population. So you get most of the population on your side, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
it's just business. That's what he is great at, business. Do you know what I mean?
And Kamala was just a front, really, innit?
Yeah.
She wasn't really a person that was herself. It wasn't her. Kamala was just literally the Democratic side. When it comes to Republican and Donald Trump is his own entity.
Yeah.
Kind of running alongside the Republicans, but I'm just using that engine to be able to get myself in power. On the other side, it looked like Kamala was just like the dummy.
Yeah.
She spent so much money on celebrity endorsements.
Mm.
So much money.
Exactly. And then now I see like Candice Owens trying to say that Beyonce took a £10 million handout from
Kamala. For 3 minutes.
I don't necessarily believe it.
I don't know about three minutes. I don't
necessarily believe it.
But I do believe the price.
It could have been the price.
I do believe the price.
You think she was paid? Because it's been flagged as false information.
Has it?
Yeah.
By whom?
By the internet.
Okay, well, it's the internet. But remember that Dubai show she did for like an hour and she was paid around... it was definitely in its millions. I forgot the value, but she was paid for an hour in Dubai and it was millions. So I wouldn't say it's falsely checked.
Dubai have the bread to do that. They put prices up, they get that 10 million back in a few hours. But Kamala, on the other hand, you're spending taxpayers' money to do that.
Yeah, no. that's the wrong turn now. That's the part where I just look at it like... and this is why I stay quiet on politics, because for me, I'd rather watch and wait. I'd rather not say anything.
Yeah, we don't really know when it comes to this, but you will never
we
know.
Will never have all the facts. We will never have all the facts. We will never have all the facts. I don't want to sit here and just deem whatever I think is my opinion and then stand on it so hard that it becomes my fact when it isn't really the fact. So I said, you know what? Let me keep myself quiet. Let me see what's going on. I'm still watching what's going on and I will continue to do so for the next maybe 4 years that Trump will be running. Just wait and watch and see.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll all be doing because it's going to be a lot of entertainment. Because he says he's going to shut down the Ukraine war. He's going to keep the dollar in charge. The dollar's still going to be the main currency that oil is going to be dealt with, which I don't believe should really be happening because you don't own the oil. So why are you selling it in dollars? It should be sold in whatever the Saudi currency is because that's where it comes from. He's going to have the biggest deportation mission, more or less, known to man, apparently. and he's going to stop inflation, and he's going to do tax cuts, and he's going to put tariffs on people that are taking stuff out of America. Can't wait to watch it all.
Don't forget what he's doing with the health side of things.
Oh, sorry. And the one, the main thing that I am actually invested in and what I love to see is that he's put in a person called RFK Jr., if you didn't know. So that's Robert F. Kennedy, which is JFK's son, I'm pretty sure. So he is a skeptic on vaccines and a lot of what Big Pharma has done with medications over the years, and saying that they're putting stuff inside that which shouldn't, doesn't need to be inside certain vaccines. And also they're pushing vaccines quicker than what they need to be pushed through. And finally, they're actually testing vaccines on innocent kids out in Africa.
Yeah, without them about
even
that.
Knowing it.
Yep.
They're testing, they're doing a lot of their testing out there to say they can bring it over to us first world countries and then give us the medicines that we need.
Not the first time either.
Yeah. They've done it. They've done it in America. They've actually done it on people in America, done testing on them in America. And I'll literally touch on that more when I get all my facts straight, and I'll come back and I'll literally read it off for you people.
What, they didn't actually know? I didn't know about them not knowing in America.
They didn't know in America that I think it was a test for a sexual drug. I can't remember what it is, syphilis or something like that, or one of those kind of drugs. And did a lot of testing on people in the black community, and syphilis ran riot for years, and they didn't understand where it was coming from, and then they backtraced it to what they were, the tests that they were doing on people. But
wasn't this called the Tuskegee experiment? Or is that
I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's out there.
That happened in the 60s, I believe.
It's out there. You can read that yourself. That's out there.
That's wrong, isn't it?
But RFK basically wants to come in and say, look, there was a lot of stuff that you've been putting in these vaccines, and I know the COVID vaccine wasn't tested to the capability of what it needs to be tested. And there's a reason to it, like why the British Health has taken AstraZeneca off. You know what I mean? We don't use that anymore. They use other stuff. And I don't necessarily think 6 months, wherever it was, is quick enough to test all the issues of what a vaccine is going to show in 5 to 10 years' time.
No,
and we're already seeing the mortality rate for random illnesses are just going up,
increasing.
I'm not necessarily blaming it was the vaccine, but the only thing that came in the last 4 to 5 years that's different to what we've lived with is COVID and that vaccine, really.
Yep.
So that's what he's trying to bring up. No, and I agree with him looking at that. But if you look at stuff like LBC, BBC News, they're pushing all the propaganda about him, saying that this man is a mad conspiracy theorist. He's what was it? He killed a bear and left it in Central Park with a bike on top of it. I said, why would you want to pick that one out of all the other things that the man has done? You really want to just push people's minds in one direction and say, this man is not good.
No, this really is helping the bear.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, but it makes sense, because those who are those who run the media stations and all the rest of it, them not us, they are also in alignment with Big Pharma and all the rest of it. So it's like, it makes sense. Is they need to continue that.
If you want to keep the money flowing, comply.
Yeah, literally comply. You're right. And that's what people, they don't want things to change. They don't want issues. They don't want their lifestyle to be changed, because everything's cushy for them.
And this is what I mean by Donald Trump going into power is a good thing, because he rocks the boat.
He rocks the boat. And that's the main reason why I think that he got in power. The people don't realize that he's not necessarily a politician, but he's such a good business and entertainer. Americans love entertainment. You put a man that's going to entertain them in front of them, they're going to vote for them. Like, he didn't talk about much policies in any of his rallies, but he talked about how stupid Kamala was. He spoke about how, no, he brought people onto the stage to talk about how bad Puerto Ricans were and blacks were. Tony Hinchcliffe, if you go watch that man, he's a joke man. So anything he said on that rally about us, I didn't really take seriously, because he's a comedian. But a lot of people got hurt. But a lot of people didn't get hurt and saw that it was funny and saw this is entertaining. I'm going to vote for this man. And that's why he's there. And I'm happy that he's there, because it'll be fun to watch for the next 4 years.
You know, before 2016, the last time we saw him really in power was when he was chairman of Raw. I'll never forget that.
Oh, yeah. And he got Stone Cold stunned, innit? Stone Cold stunned him, and it was one of the worst sales ever. The man literally just crumpled like a piece of paper. Didn't, instead of getting hit and going back and that, he just went down like this.
Yeah, of course.
Hilarious, bro. I miss wrestling them times there. Wrestling was the one.
I hear that.
Yeah, Donald Trump did make WWE hilarious. And then what? Apprentice, Fresh Prince,
The guy has been involved in man's everything. Man's been in Home Alone. He's been in so, he used to be one of the main, he's the main businessman for cameos.
Is it?
Main businessman for cameos. Okay. And the fact that he was very heavily involved in the hip hop community in the early 2000s.
Everybody thought Donald Trump was in everybody's bars because they thought Donald Trump was where he needed to be, where he wanted
business-wise. He was a symbol for money, elite money.
But he didn't get a handout from his family, but then he only got the original handout and he made everything else work for himself. Mm. I'm not trying to gas this man up and everything because I don't necessarily like him as a person, but the ethos of what he's going to kind of bring to America to try and get him back on their feet is what's right. He sold the correct dream to them, but I don't necessarily believe that the dream's actually going to come true.
Yeah. I think the whole getting rid of the Puerto Rican people is a bit crazy, but
oh yeah, yeah. But that wasn't him saying that.
Okay.
Even though it's probably him in the background telling him Tony, but actually who no one will tell Tony to write what he's writing. Tony Hinchcliffe is going to say what he's
wants to say, yeah.
He is that type of man. He's got a show called Kill Tony, and you've got to go up and then you've got a minute. No, you're not allowed to have anything written. You've got to come up there and you just got to just kill. And if you don't do it for a minute, you get your ass booed off that stage.
Yeah, I see it still.
So, yeah, the man is on that. Mm. So anything he said, don't take seriously. Pinch of salt.
Mm. Like I said, just wait and watch and see, because really and truly, whatever happens over there might affect us here. So ain't much I can say. I'm just a little person in all of this about my day to day and waiting to go back to my next trip to Jamaica. Hopefully St. Lucia, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to bring you with us.
Of course I'm coming. What do you mean? You know what? I couldn't make it because someone had to feed the cats.
Yeah, we got 3 new kittens. Well, they're not kittens anymore.
They're not kittens anymore. They're growing up into...
They're cats now.
They're growing up into big girls now.
Did you see the fight last night? See the highlights?
Nah, I didn't watch nothing. I didn't care.
I didn't care either. I didn't try to stay up and watch it. Was it last night or was it Friday?
Night before. I knew you meant it. Yeah, I didn't care. From when it's a Jake Paul fight, the senior abuse fight.
That's what it is there.
Yeah, but from when it's a Jake Paul fight, it's rigged.
It's rigged,
and it's a payout for the other person. That's what they're doing it for.
And Tyson doesn't give a toss no more. As he said before, legacy. What does that necessarily mean?
Yeah,
ain't no one gonna remember no legacy after man's dead. Yeah, like that.
So that's him telling you, I don't care about no legacy. Run me my check, yeah, B.
Man. It was his check. I just don't like the fact that this has been put in the mainstream for everybody to watch. That I think it's really making boxing a mockery.
What are we being distracted from right now?
I don't know.
That's my favorite question to ask when I see something big.
You know what I'm saying?
But I think I don't know what we're getting distracted from because I haven't looked into it just of yet. But when it comes to the whole thing, I do hear what you're saying though with the mockery of boxing.
I like boxing, man.
But also, it is bringing attention back to boxing because boxing was dying. People was paying attention to UFC. And then these kind of exhibition fights was bringing attention back onto boxing.
Riyadh season will be the life bloodline of boxing after all this.
What's that?
That's what the Sheikh, Sherm Al Sheikh, whatever his name is, who runs all these events like AJ versus Daniel Dubois.
Oh, yeah.
That was run by Riyadh season.
Okay.
These are the people that can just throw, the Saudis can just throw money at events and just say, I want you to fight him. Because boxing is a lot of, how do I explain it? So many people, different people own the belts. You know what I mean? So you have to appeal to all these different people to get a fight to happen. And if you don't throw the right amount of money at this person, that person, the fight's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But these men have a surplus amount of money. We're going to get it done. Anything that you want, get it done.
Yeah.
You know, this begs a question for me in my head then, because I've had this question sitting in my head since we've been talking about oil. And that question is the Saudi dollar stronger than the US dollar?
I don't know, you know.
That's something that we're going to have to research.
What is the Saudi currency? That's the question. I don't even know what it actually is.
It must be...
Let's have a look.
I just assume say Saudi dollar because...
So it's
0.21 of a pound.
Is it?
Yeah, 0.21. So that's like 21 pence to the pound. So every pound that we have, it's like that.
You get 21 pence.
Every 21 pence of ours, every 21 pence is a Saudi dollar. Yeah.
Okay.
Real?
That's what it's called.
Yeah, real. Yeah. Saudi Arabian real. Yeah.
So one Saudi real would be 21 pence. But I can see exactly why they would want to put the oil back the oil base on this.
Because they'll make so much more money.
Their money's just going to go...
Yeah, and it makes sense, bro. Why am I selling something that I own in somebody else's currency?
Yeah, so I'm inflating your economy and doing minor disjustice.
That was signed years ago. Americans managed to get that signed off God knows how long ago.
How long does their contract last? That's the question.
I don't think it was a contract. It was literally just, this is how it's going to be. And that's how things are. So they just wrote it into, not constitutional oath, but they just wrote it into whatever law-abiding document, and there was no time limit on it. But now the Saudis and the Chinese are saying, why the hell are we still doing this? We don't need to be moving like this.
It's not good for them and their people.
It's not. It doesn't make sense.
It probably was beneficial for them at that time, which is why they agreed to it. But now it's just no longer applicable. So
was it really senior abuse?
So $1, you'll get 3.7 SAR or real. So the Americans are laughing. That's why their conversion rates. Oh, man. I'm not jokers.
Was that, sorry, a lot, what you say?
Was it really senior abuse?
I think so. Well, not senior abuse. I just think it was just a smart. Well, I see like Tyson slip, get underneath, because I did watch like a little bit of one of the highlights. I see a little clip.
And could have clapped him.
Bro, man, done this. I went, pull his arm in. I was like, he could have rocked his shit right there. Yeah. Finished.
Even when Jake bowed to him. When Jake bowed to him in like the last round, I think it was, and like, could have clapped him. This is a boxing, fam. Yeah. This is not an exhibition, you know.
Yeah.
It's actually like a boxing match.
What? This went on Tyson's thing?
I think so.
You don't reckon that this was script somehow?
There's always scripted.
Like I said, Disney money.
But the next
Disney
man
money.
That called Jake Paul at Better BF, who fought against Beevil, like, end of last month, who's the light heavyweight champion, won't call him out, and that's meant to be a proper fight. He won't take it, because that's a real fight, and Better BF is not going to lose his undefeated record for a little rigged 20 minutes. I'm sorry. We're not doing that.
Well, it makes sense, because it's at the height of his career.
Well, he's at the back end of his career, but yeah, he is still champion.
Yeah, and that's
what
I mean.
It'd be dumb. It'd be stupid.
That'd be a silly loss to take.
So I hope Jake wants to take it and think that he's a big man now.
Same way he did against Tom.
Yeah, and he punched up. Well, Tom's shit as well.
Yeah, but Tom still punched him up.
Yeah, and then he wants to fight Canelo. Fight Canelo.
Get punched up again.
Can't stand these men making a mockery of boxing. My dad loved boxing. Ew. That was his pride and joy.
Okay.
Went over to New York to go watch Sugar Ray, watch the Lennox Lewis Tyson fight.
Down.
Everything. And now I'm seeing this. Like, I'm of age to actually understand boxing a bit like how he was. And this is what we're getting. You're crazy.
I hear it. In that regard,
entertainment as a whole is starting to fall off, to be fair.
It's nonsense.
It's down to TV, film, even music. What can we say?
Music is falling through the floor.
It's okay.
It's falling through the floor.
It's all going to change soon.
I've gone back to the soul 80s, 70s.
We've been listening 60s. To nothing but old music.
Old music. I'm listening to Teddy Pendergrass. Mm. Let me go through. Let me see what's going on there.
And just translate right back into DJing as well, because all I do play is old music, right?
So this is what I'm listening to right now. I'm listening to Herbie Hancock. I'm listening to Robert Glasper and Eric Badu. Willie Hutch, the Isley Brothers.
Nice.
Yeah. David McCollum, Matt Brown and the Brothers, DeBarge, Lenny Williams. This is what's sort of recent on my thing, man, on my Spotify. I just can't. And then
Benny the Butcher.
Benny the Butcher and 38 Smash, because these men know how to bar. I'm going to push this. Like, I'm sorry. These are just the next. They've been about. But these men are the next duo that people are going to be seeing in the mainstream, because the mainstream likes to cling on to everything, something new every single
Their names are not up and up in different countries, just put it that way.
That tune with J. Cole, that was all the rave on 2K, John P's Caddy, that blew him up. Now this album, Shot and Stabbed with 38 Special, is at the top 10. Mm-hmm. People need to know about 38. He's one of the best lyricists in the game.
You think?
In the game.
I think in current generation.
Could just go. Like, and I'm talking about there's no choruses. There's no chorus in sight on most of his tunes. It's just bars. And they make sense.
It's very unique.
And he's telling a story. And I just love to hear it. And that's what I'm missing from a lot of music this day and age. Everyone's music sounding the same. I saw a thing by Lippy. Lippy was saying, I don't want no more man sending me tunes because everybody sounds dead and sounds the same. And I agree with him.
Yeah, I hear it.
It is. He's right. Everyone's latched onto that kind of D-Block Europe sound, that kind of NEMS type beats, these kind of things. And everyone's just going with that because he knows it makes money. But you're only going to last for 1 or 2 years with
that. It's a trend, isn't it?
I do want to add to
the trend dies.
I do want to add to that point. UK music, there are so many underrated artists that don't actually get the screen time that they deserve, because their music, even if they are marketable, even if they are sellable, it's the sound. And sometimes that's a very poor excuse to not actually push an artist, because you've got, you know, singers like Mansur Brown, you've got Cleo Soul, you've got Green T-Peng, You've got some of these underground. I wouldn't even say underground because it's starting to come. Is not. She's not underground, but she's starting to. She's blown. And this is what I'm saying. It's the quality of music that she produces. I'll use her as an example. Mahalia, oh my day. Listen,
about time she gets seen. Sorry, man. You showed me.
And it's about time that even Ray gets her flowers. Do you see what I'm saying? There are. Okay, I may not. Even Sampha. Yeah, Sampha's been on like a few Kendrick tracks. Sampha's blown up. But the thing is as well, he's not even spoken about in the scene. And this is all black UK music in the scene. But because of how it sounds, I reckon that it's not being pushed to that degree.
That and also the UK scene for pushing music is actually really bad. So if you
Skepta and Frisk were talking about it last week. It's like fish in a barrel.
It's sad. When I compare UK music to like what we're currently being fed, we've got some unique styles. The UK keeps pushing out unique styles. We've got unique vocalists, lyricists, but beat makers.
Everybody kind of can't wait for that brand deal. Everybody's looking for that brand deal.
I don't think it is that, you know. I think it's the thing of where they're just not given the necessary support to actually allow them to blow. I think partially is due to the size of the island, because the island actually is a small island. Like, you have whole flipping states over in America that are bigger than England. So it's like, okay, cool. So it's a population thing. But also just don't get the necessary support. You look at like LMA's story, like she was over here doing music in the UK for time, didn't get no love. X Factor, this, that, the other, like doing bits. Mm. No love. Went over to the States, immediately number one in the charts. Mm-hmm. Like you immediately, and it's just like
because her music has the sound, it has a classic R&B sound which is resonant to Americans.
Yeah, and I think it's also the support. Like, if she could have blown up from the UK and Americans could have took wind of it.
She's with Jason Tatum as well.
She had to go all the way over to America.
What? She's with Jason Tatum as well.
To blow up. What, you didn't know that? That's what I picked.
Me, I'm so behind. I don't
feel... No. The Deuce is not hers. The little ute that you see him with all the time, the boy, that's not her ute. That's his previous baby mum. But the one, he just had a child with her, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Pickney is theirs, isn't it?
Yeah, the second one's
there. Yeah.
Me, I'm so behind. Don't watch me.
Don't worry about that. But yeah, when you got a man like Jason Tatum on your side, you're going to get pushed as well. You get that. It's different. That celebrities in America.
Getting pushed before she was with him.
Oh, though. I hear that.
She
but you get the second batch of man that come.
Now you got all the American basketball
man. Like, right, you with Jason Tatum. Yeah, I'm gonna listen to
this.
They're
gonna love you even more.
They're gonna listen to you.
They're gonna love you.
You don't necessarily get that from being a football player in England.
But once again, I will have to reiterate the fact that it's also the sound, because once again, the sound that she brought as well, it wasn't resonating with a lot of people here until she blew up. Right, like.
So that means it could have resonated. We just didn't push it enough.
Yeah, look at Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is blowing now.
She's blowing now, but she has a lot of different styles under her belt. I would even listen to the albums before she even blew up with the Lost and Found album, and even the music that she even made before then. It still sounds like the stuff she makes now.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Mira as well. Mira should be bigger than what she is.
Oh, Mira's wonderful. Like her voice is rude.
I don't listen enough to
Mira
May.
Her voice is pure.
Like when you have a level of purity in your voice and that, and all she's singing is vibes, good stuff, uplifting music.
No one's trying to hear positive music, and I don't understand.
Drill music, that's dying out, obviously. That's actually dying out so quickly, and I'm so gassed.
Because now it's
not necessarily I'm gassed about people not getting their money.
No, it's been rinsed and repeated.
You men are better than just talking about jugging up each other and shotting. And
if you remember, compare the sounds.
If you've got the lyricism to do that, what you said.
Bring back the sound factor, okay? You got Chi-Town Drill, which obviously where it originated from, Chicago. Mm. And then you've got the early drill that landed down in London, and particularly from what I know, South London size, because that's where I'm from. So we're talking like Kennington, Brixton, Lambeth area. Mm-hmm. Early drill, I'm talking maybe like 6/7s and all of that. You know, the beats were different.
Yeah,
if you compare all the beats and how they were done and how the delivery was, over time it just sort of sped up. They add more drums to it, make it like.
That was cold.
But I'm hearing it as a DJ. Like I'm hearing the constant replays of the same song, and I think that's why it's made me somewhat.
It's not even a one drop thing like reggae either. It's not even like that you can play the same beat and have 17 different tracks on it, but every single track technically sounds different because every man's trying to push their own thing. Yeah. They're trying to big up themselves, big up their island. But
that was the beauty of having rhythms back in the day recorded in the studios, because everyone brings their own flavor. So you got this one rhythm here and the producer's already done it, like, hey, I made this one rhythm. And then you got like 12 other artists on it and you can hear who is who.
Mm. Yeah, I miss it. I miss it.
Bring back rhythms, man. Bring back one drops.
Maybe we can do our own ciphers in here and bring.
Well, you need the mic that's hanging from the ceiling.
We'll do it eventually.
People like Mortimer's doing them things there. Coming back. That
AG.
Yeah. DJ AG. If you've seen him. Wonderful work.
I wasn't even talking about the DJ. I was talking about Mortimer, the artist, the Jamaican artist.
I don't think I know.
Lightning. He does like Lightning.
Oh, is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know the name. See?
Yeah.
I didn't know the name.
The fight. Careful, yeah, all of them things there. He's a great artist, and we're seeing a bit more of that Lovers Rock and all the rest of it. Like, that's what I'm saying. That is art. There are artists. That's what I'm saying. Our art is coming back, starting to bring that old feel back. It's just
you don't
just
think
need to pay
that
attention to.
You don't think that we're all coming to like this agreement as a generation, especially from our age gaps. Because first of all, we're the new adults. Hello.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
And secondly, now we're at an age where we can tell the children to shut up and be quiet.
Yeah, we could always do that.
Yeah, but also is the fact that
they don't listen though.
No, but
teenagers, we always thought we knew everything.
Yeah,
we thought we were some big people and we weren't. We were humbled. But what I'm saying is that there's this yearning for good content back. There's yearning for something memorable, and there's yearning for that, because when you think about it, what we watched as films as kids, what we watched on TV as kids, the things that we remember, even down to the crude stuff, we remember it all because people weren't afraid to speak their mind. Mm. Now it's the thing where we're battling against free speech. I'm wondering if we're at a point now where people are wondering just how much they can actually share. But in order for that to happen, you need to be able to agree to disagree with people's points of view and actually just live like that on earth. I don't think people know how to live like that anymore. And it's actually shown among even the youth.
It's because people can't get their feelings hurt anymore.
We're snowballs, man.
People don't like to get their feelings hurt anymore, and it can't be disagreed with. And if their opinion's not heard, they're shutting down and they don't want to be involved with the conversation. They can't agree to disagree.
So the art of debate is being lost. Is that what you're saying?
It kind of is.
That's a shame.
We're in the inclusion kind of period of our life, of the world. Everybody wants to be included. Everybody wants to be heard. Unfortunately, if your opinion is not going to be helpful to the masses, you shouldn't really be heard. I'm sorry. And you shouldn't be hurt about it. You should sit there, consciously think, break it down yourself, and then come back to us and with actual points, rather than just going blah and thinking that your opinion is needed, even though you haven't thought about it.
But what you just explained was critical thinking skills, and a lot of people don't have critical thinking skills.
I know that.
Because we haven't been taught what critical thinking skills are.
And I've been saying so much, I said it so much in St. Lucia, people just be talking. They just be talking. There's like, there's no thought process whatsoever, just blah. I want to say this is on my brain. I'm going to just get it out. My nan is a prime suspect of it. Prime suspect. We'll be cooking, sorting everything out on the dinner table, everything ready, blah, blah, blah. We sit down.
Suspect talks so much. You don't care what anybody else thinks.
Who cooked all this food then? It tastes lovely. Well, I could have helped. You should have called me. Where were you, nan? You were up the road by Teresa's house saying that you'll be back in time by this time to come and do and help this, that, the other. You come through the door just to perfect time. And then you're starting to do all this dictatorship and saying this is missing and that's missing and the other's missing. This is what I mean. You're just talking. Because at the end of the day, if you would stuck by what you were saying, you just wouldn't be on the back end of it. You would have been there with us in the kitchen. So all these things that you're complaining about that not necessarily on the table for you or how it's been would have been done. But people want to have their opinion and not put the effort in a lot of the time. And it's jarring.
So I have a question here, right? So everyone speaking their opinions because they want to be heard. Do you think that because we've got so much power with the internet in our little hot hands that we see things on a bigger scale? So you've seen things on a bigger scale, so you want to actually have these things out on a bigger scale rather than looking at it from a local or community level, because I guarantee you if you had to have your opinions on a local level, you probably have more people agreeing with you.
Yeah, but my nan hasn't got that excuse. She doesn't know how to use the internet. So
she knows how to use WhatsApp
ish ish.
So maybe it's a human thing and the internet's just given amplified it.
Yes, that's what I think it is. There we go.
It's a human thing and just that.
We always wanted to do it, but the internet came in place and allowed people to just do it on a massive scale.
I think that's probably why Billups exists, because I reckon that this is literally just bringing it back to basics now. This is down to the grassroots. I wanted
the podcast to be like a village, takes a village to raise a child kind of ethos originally. To say that what you, like you said, bring it back to what it was in the past. However, we ain't got really children in this vicinity. So
I mean,
we ain't got
any children in this
vicinity. We ain't got no children in this vicinity.
I mean, the cats count.
Nah. So I weren't trying to do that because we haven't really got the kind of, I would say test dummy as a child, but we haven't really got a child to be implementing a lot of what we would say to us because we haven't got children in.
So we can't brainwash our kids yet.
We're not brainwashing like these men are. Yeah. We can't brainwash kids.
Not yet.
Not yet. But when we have them, you never know.
Yeah, when we have our openly. But that's what it is, though. That's what parents do, isn't it? They brainwash their kids into their philosophies.
Yeah.
That's pretty
much what it is. But my mum didn't do that to me. I'm very, very appreciative of that. She pushed, try and literally think for yourself. From the age of 6 when I went into school, she said, don't allow another person to just tell you to go and do something.
But that's her philosophy.
But it's the philosophy of what most people should be going with, thinking for yourself.
But you've believed that because of the philosophy he's given. I agree.
I hear what you're saying. But
what do you mean? But somebody else may be like...
You can't... I'm sorry. I don't see any kind of argument where probably someone could bring to me and say, you shouldn't think for yourself.
Oh, no, I agree. That's why I say I agree. Yeah. I agree, but
if that's a philosophy that my mum brings, that's a philosophy of the world people should be using.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's a philosophy your mum's given to you and is installed into you.
And if you've not embodied that. And I say to people, if that wasn't installed into you, you've been done a disjustice. You've been done a disjustice if you've not been taught to think for yourself.
What if they don't know how to think for themselves?
Because you haven't been taught from the get-go. So then when you get to an adolescent...
That's what I mean, though. Like, what if the parent doesn't think for themselves and doesn't know how to?
Then it's just going to carry on, isn't it?
They've been done a disjustice.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it carries on and on and on.
You're saying, regardless of if they know or not, it doesn't matter.
They were done a disjustice.
And that disjustice can then continue.
Carry on to you.
It's a generational curse as such.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people have unfortunately had.
It's just simply down to awareness. It's just simply awareness at the end of the day. It's just awareness.
If you've not been taught.
No, if you haven't been taught, but then consider my case, for instance. I wasn't exactly taught certain things about life, but I had to actually come to that awareness for myself through certain circumstances that I actually went through.
And that's a beautiful thing that some people can.
Some people struggle to get through that. Some people don't know how to do it. Some people are not equipped at all. And I definitely wasn't equipped at all, but I get what you're saying. But there are some certain cases in which I also personally myself have met people who have beat the odds against their life and have become so self-aware that they've actually put themselves away from the upbringings that they've had and seen some kind of flaw that's actually set them up for failure. And I've caught it by the neck before it could even turn into said failure, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
There are two sides of the coin.
Roses grow through the concrete.
You've had opportunity or you've had the privilege to actually have that philosophy put into you. And as much as you're saying that is a philosophy, I do agree. But also at the same time, that has actually set you up to be a stable adult, which you are mentally in a much better position than maybe other 29-year-olds your age, if I'm being honest.
I've always fought like an adult because I've had to.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you're in a position where in some cases where you will have to raise yourself emotionally, especially because you look at the adults around you and you do question as very young and sometimes you get to that point when you're really young, looking at the adults thinking, is this really what it's like? What is this decision? I don't understand it because it actually doesn't make sense. It logically does not make sense to anybody that you would speak to. Certain punishments that you have, certain rules that you may have. Certain things, you know, places like that.
The level of hypocrisy that may not make sense. The generation before us is not necessarily with us now too as well.
Like
teaching you stuff and then when you're not getting it right, beating you. Like that is kind of dying out, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, my times tables were hard to learn. I had to memorize that. You memorized that one.
The level of hypocrisy that used to come with it was crazy.
Listen, the belt would make you remember the times
table. But they don't remember the times table. That's what I call hypocrisy.
9 times 9.
If you don't know the methods of which kids are learning this day and age, but then you're teaching them what you were taught in school and then trying to merge them together. And when it doesn't work and we're telling you it doesn't work, your make out is just to beat us.
81.
Your conclusion is to beat us.
Mm.
That is crazy. It was crazy work. It was madness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm crying on my homework.
that needed to stop. Because I truly believe it created a lot of the men that are on the road today.
Nah.
I do believe it.
I disagree.
I think like, right, these men were like, I don't necessarily want to go through this schooling route too. Fuck it. Am I going to go out there and help my family out, but I'm going to help it out in the ways that I don't necessarily need to be in the yard for.
Well, the thing is, you can never really answer for
I say that because I've seen it from my family members. So okay. A lot of some of them were beaten so much that they just said, I can't be used to be around the house no more. So they were brought up by the street then.
That makes sense.
You're not brought up by the parents though.
I'm just thinking about the people that I grew up with or people I see.
Because I was going to say, not everybody went through that experience because you've got some people who've probably had a rough life at home, said fuck home, and actually found enjoyment in school.
So that man got kicked out of yards and things.
Like yeah,
that.
So school is your only, school like, is your only like...
You're bouncing from yard to yard, spending a couple nights here at this friend's house, spend a couple nights at this cousin's house.
That's dragged up.
A couple literally. Nights here, huh?
That's literally dragged up, like I was saying.
And yeah.
Like, just, you've got no guidance whatsoever.
Yeah, so now you're stuck in a situation where it's like, all right, cool. I need to pay for things. I need to fund things. I need to boom, boom, boom. How am I going to do that? I can't get a job. I ain't declared myself as homeless because then I'm going to foster care because I'm only 13, 14, 12, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, cool. So, I've got these men over here that's telling me, yo, I've got ways for you to make peace. I'm going to do that. It's the only makes sense thing to do. Do you know what I mean? The only thing is that those elders are unfortunately corrupt and are going to take advantage of a young boy.
And when you're in there deep. In
there's
there
no
deep.
Many ways out.
Mm-mm.
You got to buy your way out or move away.
Yeah, that's one or two. One or two. But
it's a sad, sad game. But I do really truly believe that a lot of it can be solved out from the parenting side.
That I agree.
If you put your foot down and put your foot down with an actual plan.
With an iron fist.
Not necessarily iron fist, because that's an issue of what our parents did. It was iron fist. It was my way or the highway. Children must be seen and not heard.
I'll be real, that is a part that's not good. But in some cases, an iron rod does help with discipline. I have to be honest about that.
Didn't get that. Doesn't work for me. So I had it the opposite way.
Fair enough. I think everyone is different on that end.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go as far as to smack my children because they didn't eat their food. Like that's
mad. My mum said if you're not hungry, you'll sit down beside it and go to bed hungry.
It's simply that you have what I have and you have what I make, but you also have the choice whether to eat it or not. Now that would have probably worked for me in my childhood because at least for me, I'd be like, okay, I won't have this. I'll make my Horlicks and then go to bed or make my Milo and go to bed.
And having the choice, that is what an adult will do at the end of the day. The adult will say like, right, I don't like this. I'll just go and do my own thing. And if you teach a child that from a young age and don't beat them and start telling them, oh, Johnny, if you're not going to eat that, I'm going to make you... chips and do all
dinner.
This other stuff.
No,
you need to know
dinner.
The choice. You're either going to get this or you're not going to get anything.
And if you're going to make something, you make it for yourself because I'm not spending my energy doing it.
And you're not going to go back in and use my electricity and my gas to cook something else either because I've already cooked dinner. If you've got like a little biscuit there and tea, that's all you're going to go and get. That's all I did. Sometimes it was tea and rich tea if I didn't want to eat dinner there. Yeah. And I went to bed hungry and I find out the hard way when I go to school the next day and I can't concentrate because I didn't want to eat breakfast either because my mum said, "Right, you don't want to eat dinner? I'm not making you the breakfast either. So you got to learn the hard way." Didn't need beating. I learned.
That was tough. That's actually kind of tough.
Deprivation.
That's actually kind of tough.
That's deprivation. It's better off that way because you will learn that, raw, the food necessarily wasn't that bad. I probably just needed to try it to see if I liked it. And then I would have had sustenance.
No, I can't lie. Eating is a big thing in a yardie household, man. I have to eat my breakfast. If I don't want my porridge, I'll still go to school hungry, but you know, the porridge is there on the table.
And also
so you have to have the breakfast the next day.
To get up earlier in the day to go and make my own stuff as well. So say if my mom's not going to do it for me no more because I'm not eating what she's making for me, she's not going to be the fool and keep making it over and over again. She'll be like, you go and learn how to cook yourself. I'll teach you how to do it and make what you want to make that you like.
Self-sufficiency and choices are very much needed in development for a child
after the
age of six.
Within reason.
Go on.
Within reason, because if you get too much choices, you get become entitled.
Oh, yeah.
No, of course, you do have the rules in between, but then self-sufficiency as well is a result of that. If you don't have the choice, then what are you going to do? What are you going to...
Yeah, but he's right. Say if like you got a child and you've cooked ackee and saltfish and they don't like ackee and saltfish, and then next minute they've had a tantrum, big fuss, and you're like, oh, stop. You go out in the shop and you go and get them chicken and chips.
Or you just cook them another meal or whatever. Or you know that child doesn't eat ackee and saltfish for whatever reasons, whatever. And right now, let's just say things are tough in their pockets.
and you're like, oh, this is what we've got to cook. And then you go out of your way, bruck your pockets further to then cook that child and serve a separate meal for them.
That was breed entitlement. Yeah. I won't agree with that.
I know we're struggling, but you're able to go out and get me a separate meal.
This is one brought back a memory.
Huh? Like, that makes no sense. Go on.
So I was working in B&Q, working with my co-worker. So it was Christmas time, and I said to him, this is like 4 years ago. This is COVID times, actually, when I was brass, but just back in the COVID, beginning of COVID, going into it. So 2019 Christmas, 2020. And he was like, oh, I've got all the kids' presents sorted and this, that, the other. I'm looking at him, and he was telling me just a few weeks ago that he was brass, couldn't afford to pay his bills, this, that, the other. And I'm like, so why have you got presents for the kids? Well, he's like, the kids can't go without presents. It's Christmas. I'm like, you're building a fake facade, like that you have money. So when they're at the moment, they're only 3-4 years old and you're going to buy them like 6 or 7 gifts each, he was saying. And I said, where did that come from? He goes, it came from my family, his parents. They were always on benefits. His dad never worked. His mum worked here and there, part-time jobs. But Christmas, every single Christmas.
They had bare presents, isn't it? The tree full up.
And then he was like, yeah, it was a thing. And I said, but you've told me that your parents didn't earn that much and your dad disappeared to go elsewhere because he didn't want to be with this broke family anymore. He wanted to go his thing over there. And he goes, and he just wasn't clicking. It wasn't clicking. I'm like, bro, they're living a life that they couldn't afford and you've duplicated that now and you're forcing yourself to live in that way. And that will build, as you said,
sense of entitlement.
Yeah, sense of entitlement in the kids because they get to a certain age when they can scream and shout now, like 7, 8 years old, and what? And you really can't afford it because you never know, inflation might take it out of your hands.
You might lose your job around Christmas before Christmas. You've built
a rod for your back, and that's what it brought back a mad memory because people are doing that to themselves.
Yeah, so I think choice is necessary to an extent. It's also like, look, this or that, which is what I was saying, like with what your mum was doing. It's like, all right, here's left or right.
And if you don't like it,
there's nothing.
You stay without.
Yeah.
And you need to learn that's how life will treat you.
Yeah. I think there's a level of, there is a level of that's necessary. I think that young kids do need, so there's room for expression. There's room for actually thinking and making decisions, but there's also room for understanding, okay, so if I make this decision, here's the consequences. And it's not going to be something I have to be fearful of, but something I have to be mindful of. Rather than fearful, like, all right, if I make this mistake, I'm going to get my ass beat. So I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm just not going to do that because then I don't want to get an ass whooping. So you're not actually thinking, you're not thinking about the consequence of like what it's going to, like the inconvenience it's going to make for you or whatever like that, or what you need to learn from it. It's just, I want to make sure I don't get beat. That's it. I don't even know if that's a good or bad decision. I just don't want to get beat.
Yeah.
So I'm not, the thought process stops there. I don't want to get beat, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So but what happens to actually thinking for like, okay, what makes that a bad decision that's going to make you get beat?
Like you said, well, you just mentioned the word, I can't remember, consequential thinking.
Yeah.
You actually have to think, what are the consequences? If I don't do this, I may get beat. But if I ate this over here, I might actually try something else that I didn't necessarily like in the past and pick up something from my palate. And if I don't do either, my mom's giving me the choice, or my dad's giving me the choice to say, like, you're not going to eat, you're going to go to bed hungry, but you'll find out the next morning when my mom didn't make me my breakfast, because it's a follow-on effect from what I didn't do the night before.
Yeah.
So I now have learned, if I don't do this, if I don't do X, Y, and Z won't happen. But if I eat X, Y, and Z, Y might happen, and Z is going to happen come the breakfast in the morning. I had to start breaking stuff down like that from a young age.
I can't do that.
Why can't you do that?
What, deprivation at breakfast time?
My mom used to do deprivation, like,
you know, actually, do that at your own risk.
School after I've been like, so school get to my mum before I get
it's
to her.
It's a new day.
And then I get home and my controllers and the wire for the P2 is gone.
That makes sense.
So you can see the PS2 there. You can see the screen there, but you can't turn the TV on because the power cable's gone. So what? Done for.
That one's sick.
That makes sense. I like that.
You can't do anything without a power cable for a TV.
Go read your book.
I can leave the controllers there, or you should take the AV cable from the P2, so you can turn it on. You can even boot it up. You can't do nothing.
She really said to him, "Go read your book."
Literally, that's what it was. Go read a book.
Mm-mm.
Oh man, but yeah. I think I'm going to call it a wrap on there.
Yes, children, stay in school. Knowledge is powerful.
It is very powerful. And we need to teach our kids how to...
And the truth will set you free.
Parents, stop being your kids as often.
Stop being dickheads.
Stop being your youth like that, man.
Oh.
Black people.
The kids don't deserve that.
Oh, don't underestimate it.